Tonight we're in chapter 28, lesson 19, page number 62 in the lesson book. And we're headed to Rome. We're over halfway there. Last week we ended the chapter 27 in verse 44, where it says, this is the shipwreck. It says, and the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And it came to pass that they all escaped safe to land. And that brings us to chapter 28. And when they were escaped, they knew that the island was called Melita. And if you look on your map of where that is, we're not far off of Italy, but it's way south. It's way south of Crete. Not way south, but a long ways out there. And it's a tiny island. Little dot on the map. If you don't have a map that blows it up, you probably won't see it. It's got that area of the world enlarged. You probably won't see it on a map because it's a small island. I think it's actually two islands, two pieces. And anyway, they end up there. That's where the shipwreck hits. If you look in these pew Bibles, the one where it's got Paul's, I think it's the one that's got Paul's fourth missionary journey on it, is you can see it better on that one, on that map, than the others. The others, they don't have it highlighted as much. Or
is that map 9?
Yes, the ninth map, and then in the lower corner of it's got Paul's journey to Rome on it.
Okay.
Yep, and then that shows you the whole trip is right there. It's a little bit small, but at least you can see that. And then one of the other maps, that same map, if they hadn't put words all over everything, you would be able to see it on that one, that bigger map. And I think I found another one in there that showed it bigger. I could be wrong. Could be thinking about another one I was looking at. Yeah, I think I was thinking of another map I was looking at. Anyway, they're off course a little bit, but not too bad. Not super bad. So anyway, before we go any further, as our custom has been, let us read part of the chapter over tonight to get us started with our Bible discussion. I figured we'd get down to about verse 16. I figured that's about as far as we'd get tonight. So does anybody want to volunteer to read the first 16 verses? All right, thank you.
Do you prefer it King James?
I don't care.
Now when they had escaped, they then found out that the island was called Malta, and the natives showed us unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire and made us all welcome because of the rain that was falling and because of the cold. But when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened on his hand. So when the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said one to another, "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he has escaped the sea, yet justice does not allow to live." But he shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. However, they were expecting that he would swell up or suddenly fall down dead. But after they had looked for a long time and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. In that region, there was an estate of the leading citizen of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and entertained us courteously for 3 days. And it happened that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and dysentery. Paul went in to him and prayed, and he laid his hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, the rest of those on the island who had diseases also came and were healed. They also honored us in many ways, and when we departed, they provided such things as were necessary. After 3 months, we sailed in an Alexandrian ship whose figurehead was the twin brothers, which had wintered at the island. And landing at Syracuse, we stayed 3 days. From there, we circled around and reached Rhegium. And after 1 day, the south wind blew, the next day we came to Puteoli. Yes. Where we found brethren and were invited to stay with them 7 days. And so we went toward Rome, and from there, when the brethren heard about us, they came to meet us as far as Appii Forum and Three Inns. When Paul saw them, he thanked God and took courage. Now when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul was permitted to dwell by himself with the soldier who guarded him.
All right, thanks for reading that.
And our,
in our thought discussion questions, question number one is, what was the name of the island where they escaped? Malta or Melita, either depends on which translation you're looking at. Who showed them great kindness? Huh? The islanders? Yeah, and the King James just says a barbarous people, which will play into the next question, but something we'd understand better is the native people. The native people. And the next question is, what is meant by barbarous people? Or barbarous people?
They didn't speak Greek.
They didn't speak Greek. Thayer says that anyone who speaks a foreign language which is not understood, talk about understood by the Greeks and the Romans and so forth. So not what we normally think of when we define it in modern day English. Remember, this is the part when you're using the old King James, you got to remember, you're not using modern English. You're using 150-year-old English and 175-year-old English. So remember that when we're looking at some of these things or reading some of these things.
Could we use the term indigenous people?
Yes, that would be appropriate. I would not be surprised if you'd find some of the modern translations, it would have something like that. It's the locals. And the reason they termed them as barbarous people is because they didn't speak the language, their familiar language. Go ahead.
We usually think of barbarous people as being more savage.
That's right.
And they weren't, obviously they weren't savages from the way they treated Paul and the other.
That's right. They were definitely not wild people, or untamed from the modern world of that day and time. Question number two says, what indicates that the time was late fall or early winter at this time?
They had to kindle a fire.
Yep. Fire, cold, rainy. Also, I put a snake because of the viper. What are snakes? They are reptiles and
cold.
So this would have to be most likely be late fall.
It even says the viper came out because of the heat.
Yeah.
That's what it says.
Makes you wonder if they built the. I thought about reckoning they built the fire over a snake hole. Either way, it was heated up and he come out. He's coming out of whatever.
And nature.
Yeah.
He didn't move or anything, he just kind of laid there until he got enough warmth.
Yeah. So this would indicate that it had to be late fall, early winter. Just from these three things at a minimum. What happened to Paul when he was laying wood on the fire?
He was bitten by the viper.
Yep. He was bitten by the viper. By their reaction, what does it say in the New King James? It say viper or snake?
In the New King James, it says viper.
Okay. Now, do you guys know the difference in snakes? The differences in snakes when it comes to vipers? They are the most poisonous snakes. That's why it's called a viper. Whenever I was in Costa Rica, we decided we'd go on a walking tour before we come home after the gospel meeting and some of the Bible studies and things we were doing down there. And the vipers were the prettiest among snakes. They were usually solid color and had a big old head on them, a little body, and they were usually the brightest colored ones. So everybody's like, oh, cute little snake, and they're snapping pictures. We found one that was coiled up on a big wide leaf that was laying on a limb, and he was laying there, and the guide, this was on the side, a paved or concrete paved sidewalk. It went through the rainforest, obviously a tourist trap. And so there that viper was, and that guide was scared to death. Telling everybody, get away, get away. And he goes, oh, he's asleep. You're lucky. Because they said that if the viper saw somebody, though he wasn't very big, said the thing can jump. He could lunge out at you. And he was very concerned about that viper, wanting everybody to get away from it. Nobody take a stick and poke it. Nobody take a picture. We're getting out of here. Why is that? Because he's so poisonous that if somebody were to get bit, might not make it back to the station before it gets you.
When Sam and Polly were young, I think they were probably maybe 13 years old, we went to Knoxville to the zoo up here. Have you ever been to the Knoxville Zoo?
Been a long time, but I have.
Okay. They have a lot of reptiles. And what happened was the day before, a couple of days before, they have like fish cages or aquariums stacked up on top of the other. And at that time, they had it where you could go back behind that canary and walk behind it. And they had one of the exhibits they had was the world's deadliest snake. Came from South Pacific or somewhere. And to clean his cage, they had a cage where they could, when he got on one side of the cage, one end of the cage, they'd clean out the end and whatnot. And then they'd let him get back on the other end, put the fish back in there, and clean out the other side. A day or two before we were there, I think it was a day before we were there, this young boy went back there and got him and put him down in his jacket. And he bit the little boy as they were going home. And you know, the Air National Guard is in Knoxville. They flew a jet over to the South Pacific and was met by one coming back the other way to give him the antidote so the little boy didn't die.
That's a story right there.
Yeah. And when we were up there, they had already put a door on there and locked it so that you couldn't get back behind there.
Yeah, I'd say that's a good thing. Well, we saw lots of poisonous snakes in Tanzania. The last trip, I actually went to a snake farm, and they showed us all kinds of snakes that swallowed people and people that had been swallowed, and they cut them open and got them out and stuff like that. I mean, obviously died. They didn't live through it. But then they had also had all those vipers, different kinds of vipers that were extremely poisonous. So by that, two different countries, two different continents in the world, when I see the word viper, I think super poisonous snake, not just a poisonous one that's deadly. And so, if that's the correct interpretation of what we're reading here in Scripture, you can kind of see why they raised an eye on this. You can kind of see why they raised an eye, because it's like, this is bad. People don't survive these things when they get bit. Question number three is, of what did the barbarous people think Paul must be guilty?
Murder.
Why did they think that?
Because they worshiped a God called justice. And when something bad happened to somebody, that meant they had done something bad.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the reward for their bad deed.
Yep. It was a common thought among the heathen, as we might say, among the worldly people, that if you did something bad, you would be paid for it on earth. Something bad would happen to you. That's actually the, Jesus uses this common belief in Luke chapter 13, verses 1 through 5. He uses two examples. He uses that mode of thinking, incorrect thinking, for two examples there when he talks about repentance. And he first talked about those on whom the Tower of Siloam fell. And the reason he used that is because it was common belief that the reason those people, the tower fell, is because those people were evil. Same kind of thinking we see here. And then he used it as an object lesson, said, I tell you nay, unless you repent, you're gonna likewise perish like those people did, the ones on whom the Tower of Siloam fell. That was verse 5. I got them backwards. The first one was the one whose, it said, the blood of those whom Herod mingled in their sacrifice. So they believed that Herod had killed them. He mixed their blood for sacrifice, had killed them because they're evil. And then verse 3 says, you know, I tell you nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. You're going to be considered like these evil people, because it was a common thought for them to think if something bad happened to you, it was because you were evil. Is that true?
So is that what we think karma is? Like, you know,
well, I hadn't thought about it. I guess it's akin to that.
That, you know, what goes around comes around?
Yeah, I guess you could look at it that way. We know that God doesn't operate that way. He doesn't operate that way. Yet, you know, a lot of times it's our own crazy decisions that get us in trouble. We're allowed to make our own decisions. That's part of the nature of God. To let us be stupid if we want to be stupid. You know, like I used to hear people say, there ought to be a law against that. I said, well, there's not a law against being stupid. it can happen. Anyway, so these kinds of ideas is why they thought that he just obviously done something bad. Vengeance is going to get him. Number 4 says, what were the results of the viper's bite?
Nothing became of it.
There was no harm whatsoever. Now this keys in the next part of the question, is what promise had the Lord made even earlier, or given earlier, to the apostles concerning such matters?
They will get to Rome with no law.
Yep. No, well, that was Paul, but back to the apostles. You go back to the book of Mark, where he told them they'd go out, they could work miracles, and if a snake bit them, they would not be harmed. That's also in the passage of what some would call the questionable inspiration, or that it's actually in the original manuscripts. We could argue about that, but you find that back in the book of Mark, where that's talked about in, I believe, chapter 13.
Back in the 20s and 30s, there were snake handlers.
Yep.
People believed if they could handle a snake, then they were a righteous person.
Yep. And that comes back to the writing in Luke.
Or they had faith.
Yeah, if it got you, it meant you didn't have enough faith, right?
So isn't that the primitive, isn't there a church that they could go rattlesnakes out and play with them?
Yep. That, yep, used to see that as the Pentecostal. I used to see it in a lot of different churches, but they kind of, in the modern time, that's kind of fell out.
They lost their faith.
And I also know some trickery that went on. They, you know, some people, some of these places, they'd go and take the poison away from the snakes. They'd either bleed them out, or, you know, milk them out, or they would take the poison glands remove them from the snake. And so when he's up here snake handling, putting on a big show, didn't matter if you got bit or not, there was no poison. So there was trickery involved.
There was a gentleman, I'm sure he's long been dead, but when I was younger, he would come in the store where I worked, and he had preached. And he said that he was one of those that would go and debate other denominational congregations and things. And he said that they invited him to come and speak. And what he did was he got a paper bag and he put some pine cones in there. He put it under the floor. And he said what he did was he shaped it and said it sounded similar or very much like a rattlesnake, they thought. And he told him that there was rattlesnakes in there. And he said he went up and down the aisle and put their hands in that bag and said nobody would do it.
Nobody had enough faith, did they? Yep, according to there. In Mark chapter 6, I told you chapter 13, it's chapter 16. Chapter 16, verse 18, where he's talking, giving the Great Commission, Jesus is talking to his disciples. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name, that they shall cast out devils, they shall speak in new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and they shall drink any deadly thing, and it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Paul's the fulfillment of that, isn't he? Fulfillment of that promise. Now remember, this is to the apostles. It's not to us. That's where people get this messed up. Look at the context of it. And he said unto them. Who is the them? Back up a few verses, and you'll figure out who the them is. What did he say to them? Go in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. And these signs shall follow them. And here it goes. And remember who he's speaking to. The example there is for us. And I think this is another passage, far as we're concerned, this is another do not fear passage. Because if you look at 17 and 18, it's about them not fearing what they're going to face. These obstacles that will be there for them in the way. Once again, we see this being fulfilled here in this story about Paul in chapter 28 in the book of Acts. All right, any more questions, comments about that? Question number 5, what changed the people's mind about Paul?
He did not suffer from the box.
It didn't bother him.
I think it's interesting that they kept looking at him to see if his hand would swell or, you know.
I can see some little kid running off and telling another kid, hey, somebody just got bit over here. Let's go look at it. I can too. Some mama say, what you talking about? Come, let's go see this. And then especially when nothing seemed to be happening, they thinking he ought to be swelled up like a balloon, or he ought to be laying on the ground, you know, convulsing, seizing, something. Nothing. What did they say he was?
A god.
They thought he was a god because he overcame. That snake bite didn't bother him. Number 6 is who lodged them for 3 days? Publius, the chief of the island. Do you think that this happening to Paul had anything to do with it? I bet it did.
I would say it's like some of the rulers and things wanting to hear more about it.
Obviously. They wanted to hear more what's going on. It got their attention. God is going to use this. Remember, God's going to use Paul for his good here. So what happens next? Publius' father is lying sick. And it says, what does it say here, of a bloody flux? Something like that. That means he had, most likely he had diarrhea so long, it's a dysentery. He probably had diarrhea so long that he was bleeding from the inside. Not pretty at all. And so what did Paul do for him?
Laid his hands on him and prayed.
Yep. And so I'd be thinking here, if I was Publius, I'd be like, uh-oh, there's something good happening here. We better find out what's going on. We better pay attention to this. And notice, you know, Paul, it said that he healed all the things that was brought to him, right? People that was brought to him. Healed a lot of people. Number 7 is what does the word honored mean as used here? Yep. Now, next part of it, in the other part of the verse, is what were the honors they received?
They received things of necessity, to the point that when they left, they gave them all that they would have needed.
Yep, they was ready to go. This was an outward showing of the gratitude they had for them. Think about the things that had gone on, not just... Here they are, somebody's shipwrecks on their shores. They show kindness to them. They see a miracle happen with the snake or viper, and now they see miracles happening with the healing of the people, with Publius's father. And so it's like there is something to this. So there's no doubt in my mind that they listened to what he had to say. And it's not much said here about, let's see, I lost my verse here. Yeah. And there's not much said here about them believing. And maybe because they just didn't spend enough time, but I can't believe in my mind that it wasn't talked about, something about the gospel. Had to be. Did it everywhere he went. This would have been in character for him and with him. The next part of the question says, how does this help understand the full meaning of passages such as Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2, and 1 Timothy 5, 3, and also 1 Timothy 5, 17? 1 Timothy 6, verse 2 is, honor your father and your mother, for it's the first commandment with promise, that you might live long on the earth. 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 3, that says, honor the widows that are widows indeed. And then verse 17 says, let the elders rule well, be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. So what do you think about how this helps us to understand these verses?
Goodness begets goodness. And by that I mean, if you do what God has instructed you to do with the intent that God has set up, then something good is going to happen to you, and it's
this, and honoring your father and your mother, is it just saying I'm thankful for you? I think it's a step further than that. If we do the honors that they done, see, they gave them things of necessity. So what would be in regards to mother and father in older years, showing honor to them to care for. As James chapter 5 tells us, no, chapter 1, verse 27. Is that right? Now I'm doubting myself. Yeah, 127. Wow. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. There we're talking about, in this passage is saying to care for. That's what that means. To visit is to care for. So there we see the encouragement given of the way we should react. And I think it's what he's trying to get us here. In showing the honors to them, we are helping to provide for their needs, because in showing the honors to Paul, in this case, they provided for their needs. So I think that's the point that the writer of the lesson here is trying to get us to notice. What do you think? Question number 8 is, how long did they stay in Melita?
3 months.
3 months. And then it says, name the places where they stopped before reaching Italy.
Syracuse.
Stayed there 3 days, yep.
Regio.
Stayed there a day.
Regio.
Stayed there 7 days. So, little traveling going on. If you look at your map, huh? Oh, well, good. You read your Bible, didn't you? If you look on the map, we got the big island, then the tip of the boot on Italy. These are all little jumps going between, or going along that island, that bigger island, and skipping along the boot, the tip of the boot there in Italy, and the sea. And then from there, the next skip is Rome. The next skip from there is Rome. Who met Paul at Appia Forum? Verse 15. The brethren did. So that's kind of a neat thing to think about, that the brethren met him there. And I don't know if they knew that they'd sent word to let them know they were coming, or he went and found them after they stopped there. I don't know, but either way, they found him. And notice that in verse 15, you know, the question is, what is the effect all of this had on Paul?
Took courage.
He thanked God and took courage. It was a positive effect for him to get to see some familiar faces. And anytime you see the members of the Lord's church that are the dedicated, the real Christians, but when you meet them anywhere else in the world, you have it's just like a familiarity you have with them.
Common bond.
Exactly. It's exactly what it is. The handful of places I've been in the world where I've stepped out and didn't know a single person, it's amazing how we find a common bond so easily. And it's because of the Word of God. We all have a common interest. And so I wondered if there's a little bit of this going on. They find out that Paul is, they hear that Paul's there, obviously, or I think they have heard of him through whether one of the missionary journeys or whatever the case might be. And then when he finds him, he might have known him by name, but he knew him pretty quick because he took courage from this. Yep. And but just from that distinction alone would stick out in their mind.
He might have talked some of them about that before he went.
Oh, I believe he did.
You know, I did too. I'm sure it's not great stuff yet, but I believe that in various places that he had gone, he had talked. And if I'm not mistaken, did a lot of the Ephesians go around in world history?
I couldn't tell you without looking at it some.
It just came to me for some reason. A lot of it migrated to Rome.
All right, we'll do a couple more questions, and let's just do one more question. No, let's stop here. Wow, I gave you three options, didn't I? Let's stop here because that's going to tie into the next part of the discussion pretty good. Well, the next question is in verse 16. Okay, who was Paul with at all times, even though Paul was not with the other prisoners? With a soldier. So he had gained a lot of, to me that just says he'd gained a lot of favor. Gained a lot of favor with them on the trip. All right, any other comments or questions as we close?